Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
There's a principle that seems to be a part of earthly life, and we call it habits. And we have mental habits. How does a habit form? You keep doing the same thing, and you do the same thing, and you do the same thing. First of all, pretty soon you come to the point where you don't have to think about it. You just do it. I mean, how many times have I been driving down the road and I've realized I just passed a whole bunch of stuff, and how did I get here? My mind is on something else, and fortunately there's enough habit there to keep me on the road, but one or two of you can probably identify with that. But the truth is, that's how earthly life works. We develop habits of thinking and reacting and how we see things. All of those are so embedded in our brains, it's not just where God can explain it to us and then, oh, well, yeah, we just flip a switch. In fact, we can listen to something that God tells us that's totally contrary to the way we think and act, and we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, and we go out and we just slide right back into the same pattern because it's ingrained in our thinking. We've learned how to think and act that way. That's why God's got to go to work to change our habits. And he's going to bring things to our attention where we're going to have to make literal choices to go against the way we used to act and think until that becomes the habit. So that's what he's talking about in verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, which certainly is all about serving, but it's serving self. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, how his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Boy, I wonder how many baby Christians there are out there who read about how pray and God will answer your prayer. But what are they wanting? Where do those desires and those wants and those thoughts come from? They come from people who haven't got their minds transformed. They're all geared to this world. You know, God sees our needs, doesn't he? He knows all about that. That's not wrong for him to meet earthly needs, but that's not the heart. That's not what it's about. It's about getting my mind so refocused that I understand who I really am and I can begin to act out and live out that new identity. And what is that identity? Servant. Ooh. How many of you actually want to say, pray that prayer, Lord, make me a servant. Lord, make me a servant. Do we really understand what we're saying? Wow. And then you go on. And here's the thing that has confirmed to my mind what I said about the first part, about many bodies, one sacrifice. What does he go into? What does he talk about after this verses 1 and 2? For by the grace given me, how did Paul do what he did? I need divine help. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Well, do we need our minds transformed for that to happen? Yeah. It's all about us and all about what pleases us naturally. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So now Paul's talking about God giving me grace so that I can tell you these things, but God's given you grace for a reason. All right? That's what this is about. Now he goes into the body. For just as each of us has one body with many members, many parts, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, Many bodies, one sacrifice. Each member belongs to all the others? You mean I'm not just an individual person, can do what I please? I belong to you. The only reason I'm here is to serve you. Serve you. Again. That's for every one of you. Now you may or may not have a position that would bring you up here. That's not the point. It has nothing to do with anything. All right? Each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts. Now, why do they differ? I mean, what's that about? According to what? According to the grace given to each of us. If you have an ability to be here, where did that come from? Oh, it's because I'm so smart and so worthy. No, it has nothing to do with that. Absolutely nothing. Whatever you have in the way of spiritual ability to encourage, to help somebody else, I don't care what it is, it came from Him. It's a product of His life and His mercy. Oh, praise God. We have different gifts according to the grace, based upon the divine power that is given to each of us, not earned, not deserved. If your gift is prophesying, that is speaking out God's living words, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, in other words, don't go beyond. If it is serving, then serve. We don't take God's gifts and say, I'm going to run with that and I'm going to be somebody. It's just do what He says. That's what Jesus did. I only do what the Father shows me to do. He didn't say, oh, look at all the stuff I'm able to do. I'm just going to go out and change the world. He just said, Father, tell me what to do and I'll do it. Boy, do we complicate it with our egos and with our human thinking. But God's changing us and He's helping us. All right. So if it is prophesying, if it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. Real complicated. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And then you see the connection with the love part. Love must be sincere. It's got to be real. It's got to be His love motivating all of this. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. That sounds kind of like it fits what Jesus said, doesn't it? Devoted to one another. There's a living connection that nothing's going to break. Devil, you can't talk me out of this. This is who I am. This is why I'm here. And by God's grace and with His strength, I'm going to be a source of help and encouragement, not the other. Okay? All right. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Oh, that comes naturally, doesn't it? We need God's help and God's Spirit and God's, the changed heart that comes from Him. And then the thinking that starts getting more and more conformed to that heart that He gives us. Never be lacking in zeal. Not Peter's kind of zeal, but the real kind. But keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And then even bless those who persecute you and so on. I'll tell you see the changes God is seeking to bring about in us? But what a characteristic that He's focused on there. Is that of being a servant? Wow. You see that in so many places in the Scriptures. I don't want to go through a lot of them. I think you know them, but for me to realize, well, I'm going to deal with one thing because we know it. I'm actually going to go ahead and turn over there just briefly. In Ephesians chapter 5, you have some specific examples there. And I'm just going to pick it up in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Well, I kind of put Peter, kind of shined the light on where Peter was. You're not going to wash my feet. And the Lord said, yeah, If I don't, you're not part of me. We, every one of us, need help, don't we? We need encouragement. I need you just as much as you need me. You matter. Praise God. But look at the picture that follows. Boy, does this get twisted with human thinking. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. They're the boss. Well, that's not the spirit of it at all, is it? As you do the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. But you put all of this together with the Spirit of Christ, and you have got something that is amazing. I'll tell you, fellas, our wives are amazing. God created them. He invested so much of his own nature into them, the abilities. They need to be loved, respected, and given a place where they can flourish with all of their God-given abilities. God didn't make them the leader, but he didn't make you the boss. All right? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, and so forth. Now put this in the context of what we've said this morning. If we really see God's purpose, is not this meant to be in the home as well? Are we not one another's servant? Yeah, I see, the wife says, I'm just supposed to be the man's slave, and he tells me what to do, and he just lives a self. No, that's not it at all. The husband is the servant of the wife, if you really understand what's going on. That means his heart, his focus is on creating an environment in which she can flourish with all her God-given gifts. It's to help, it's to focus on what is best for her, not just materially, but spiritually. How can I encourage and help my wife to flourish, and my children, and my home, and the relationships in the church? How can I use what God has given me to advance their spiritual strength and maturity? It doesn't mean that she's mommy and he tells him what to do. That's not the kind of servanthood you're talking about. It just means that I'm not living for me and what I can get out of this. God has given me abilities to lead, and I need to use those for her benefit, for things that are right and will benefit and help her to grow and flourish and be strong.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.